Hey everybody, welcome to Magical Baddies, the realest podcast on all things mystical, magical, and spiritual. I am your host, Sophia.
I'm Leah.
And let's get into it. It's 2024.
Oh my God. It's
So
like half over. No.
yeah, it's over. It's 2025 now. So in this episode, we figured we would just like talk about our years in review or year. It feels like years. It feels like 2023 was like 3 years, right?
Does. Yeah.
We're going to
Yeah.
talk about our year in review and like our hopes and desires for this coming year.
Yeah.
Because it's good to reflect and it's good to see where you're at. I think we're constantly moving forward, and sometimes we don't take the time to like recognize how far we've come, and it's helpful to do that.
Yeah. Wow, as we're entering into this, into this conversation, I'm like, how much do I want to share? It's really hard to talk about 20. It's hard to talk about the sequence of events that happened in my life to people who don't understand what the resonant path is. And when I say that, I mean specifically like resonant path, Akashic mentorship, TM, like the way that I talk about it in my work. Because if I just tell you what happened in my life, you would probably start to think that some of the people in my life are pretty villainous and not good, but it isn't, that isn't the case. Like, no, I don't know, I'm already being like a weird, like I'm saying this in a very cryptic way and I don't want to, but it's just, this has been such a transitional, transformational year. I mean, you had a freaking child this last year. Like, so many things happened.
Yeah.
It's wild. Yeah.
You know what I realized? I was like looking at the past couple years. I have been pregnant 3 out of the last 4 years.
Wow.
So, and I think that like spiritually speaking, and this doesn't necessarily, this isn't just for people that are able to have children, but I think spiritually speaking, when you are pregnant, you are incubating something and giving
Yeah.
birth to something, like literally, figuratively, spiritually. But it is kind of crazy to look back at the last 4 years. I mean, for everybody, right? From
Yeah.
2020 to now,
Yeah.
how crazy time and structure and what we think we're supposed to be doing versus what we want to do. And it's wild. But I do want to like I do think that for people that don't know what the resonant path is, we should talk about that, because that is something you and I like, I think, live and die by. I mean, I can't do life any other way. I don't know how to, and I didn't even know I was doing it early on. But like there's nothing else. So let's break it down for people who don't know what that is.
Okay. So I would say about a I started my Akashic practice in January of 2016, and I would say by the beginning of 2017, no, not even. Probably by the end of 2016, they were talking to me about resonance. And the way that they explain it to me is that resonance for humans is, and it's just what they tell me, this is not everyone's definition, is just the sensation of a yes or a no in your body. It's not intuitive information. It's not, there's no logic backing it up. There's no why. It's just the yes or no. And that when you can opt toward the yeses and stay away from the noes, you a path unfolds before you that your mind could not have concocted, your imagination could not have dreamt of. And that path, even if you can't see it multiple steps ahead, you only maybe can see one step ahead at a time, it brings about an experience of living that is far more satisfying than anything you could have imagined. And so I started playing with this just on my own and listening to when I had choices, what would the resonant decision be? And I remember I had been by I think it was November, like I want to say like November of 2017. I had been unemployed at that point for 2 years. I mean, applying for job after job after job, getting turned down for things that I was like overqualified for. And but I had started this spiritual path as a hobby. And that by the end of 2017, I had these like, I realized I didn't actually want to go to work. I wanted to see if my work could emerge. But I had this identity of you need a job, you're a worker, you need a job. And but it wasn't truly resonant anymore. And I remember I made this like agreement of like, okay, well, I'll take a job if I can have it. You know, I had all these qualifications, like I want part-time but full-time pay. I want, you know, to be able to teach this, and that. I want, because I was applying for school teaching positions. And I got the job that I dreamt of. And my body immediately, when I got the offer, I got so sick. I had diarrhea like immediately. And I knew this is a no. This response isn't because I'm sick. It's my body telling me this is a no. And I realized like so loudly in that moment, like, oh, I have a choice here. I can either opt toward the logical decision, the one I was programmed to take, like you need income, you need security, or I can opt toward what my body is trying to tell me, which is do not do this thing. And I, for the first time in my life, said no to a job when I could barely, like, you know, I couldn't even keep my phone on. I couldn't keep food in the house. Like, I was so broke. And that following weekend, I was vending. I was like, you know, doing all these hustles. And I made like $1,500 in cash that weekend. And it was the most money I had ever, like, had since I had, you know, became unemployed. And then from that moment on, they worked the records, the Akashic field started like working with me. You know, it started to speed up and ramp up like the work in resonance. And now this is what I teach my students. Like in the Akashic mentorship is about learning what this is and how do you commit to this path.
I think that, it's really funny to me when people are like, that doesn't resonate. And I'm like, these are two different things. These are two different, like, this is like a it for me, so like I went through life thinking this is just what people do. And that maybe just my choices or what was right for me was just so different than what everyone else was doing. And it wasn't until I really met Leah that I was like, oh, no, this is like a path that we choose. Because in my mind, if you've listened to the podcast, you know how chaotic it was for me growing up. And so when you have chaos in front of you, you kind of get to a point where you're like, fuck it. Like, I'll just try something different. That, or you just like submerge yourself to the chaos. And I did not want to do that. I can either rise above or I can drown. And I didn't want that life for me. And it was that moment, I swear, like in my grandmother's front yard when they said to me, and it felt like time slowed down. They were like, this is not meant for you. This life is not yours. Like what I was living. And so, like, I would do things that maybe didn't make logical sense to anybody else, but it felt right to me. And it's not by intuition, it's not by anything else. It's just like, I got to do this. There's yes or no. And anti-resonance is something that I also teach, because your body will, that diarrhea, like, I remember taking a job that I thought I really wanted, and the day that I got it, I had this huge cold sore on my lip. And I just like knew I didn't want to be there. I never came back. I didn't even call them. I didn't do anything. I was just like, that's not for me, And that's just like how I met my husband. I was already in a relationship. I was already, I'm in my 30s. This is probably what we're supposed to do. And I met him, and it was just like, yes, It was like, it doesn't matter what this is, it doesn't matter who you're with, it doesn't matter. It was just, this is what it is. And you know, I guess taught in Leah's Akashic Study Hall. So if you do know how to open your records, I recommend that you sign up for that. And we did the power of possibility, where it's stretching your imagination. And the point to that wasn't necessarily to stretch your imagination, but to let go of the end result. That's what my, like, working in the Akasha, they told me, like, let go of the end result, let go of what you think it will be. And if you can let go of that, whatever develops can be so much more. And that's like, because I think that naturally as human beings, we're like, okay, I know I want to do this. So what is step A, step B to get to C? And that's like the formula of success. And I talk about that at length in my classes because we see somebody else have something that we want. I saw this in a, like, this person that's a big manifesting whatever, and they're like, look to your expanders. And if you look to them, then you can, and to a degree, yes, but like, you
What's an
don't want to.
expander?
An expander is somebody who is doing the thing that you want. So you look to them as influence, or you look to them as an inspiration. So like, yes, to a degree, but now you're just following a formula. You're looking at how they did it, but how they did it is not the way how you should do it, you know? And this year was, at the end of the year, was probably the hardest thing I had to go through. And I went through a pretty massive, like, breakdown in my marriage. And it was definitely a lack of communication. And when I came back to it, I was just like, my work is non-negotiable. I always felt like, okay, I have marketing, I have sales in the back. If something falls through, I can always do that. But I came to the table and I was like, my work is non-negotiable if we're going to make this work out. Like, that's it. This is what is for me, period. And I think that when you stake that claim, as we like talked about it, you know, he was like, when I look at it from where you started to where you are now, he was like, you created something that doesn't exist. And that is really hard to do. But I attribute that to the resonant path. You know, for so long, I didn't feel like I fit in. I didn't know where I stood in the spiritual community. I didn't know how to offer my offerings. Like, I wasn't making money for years. I just struggled to find my voice because you see, it's like walking into class and everybody knows each other and everybody understands each other, and you just like can't, you're scared to say your answer because it's weird or whatever. That's how I felt. And this year was the first time that I really felt like I carved this space for myself. I know who I am. I have like a, not a self-awareness, but like a self-perseverance. And if I had let go of the resonant path, no matter how hard it was, I wouldn't feel so fucking good now. Like, I feel like I'm home. And so, you know, I would say to our listeners, it's like the inkling. This is in my peripheral. I don't know why it's there. Well, then maybe look at it, you know, like, and when we talk about like psychic development, Akashic development, whatever, you know, people talk about the yes and no's in your body, but they're looking at it as an answer. Is this a yes or is this a no? But that's not what it is. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a full body like expression. I don't even know how to explain that. Do you?
Like what resonance feels like?
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I've gotten really good at listening to it. So now I definitely know when something's resonant. And it's not, sometimes it's a hard yes, I just know. But other
Yeah.
times it is very murky. And then I have to sit with, okay, well, I keep thinking about it, or I keep seeing things that are reminding me of it, or someone else mentioned it. Like it keeps coming up and coming up. Something here is resonant, and I don't know what. And then I start to wonder why am I not? So if it's murky, like why is it murky? And then I usually run down like if this were true, or if I said yes to this, what's the greatest fear that's coming up for me? What actually is trying to stop me from saying yes? What does my body perceive as a trigger in this phenomenon? And you know, like I went through a very similar thing in a different way with my relationship this year. My 18-year relationship. I left to visit Sophia on October 27th, and I came back from the East Coast on October 31st. And I left thinking that, like, well, I wish things were a little bit different in my relationship. And I came back with, like, I have to move out immediately. It
Just
became,
FYI, that had nothing to do with me. It was just
no, it didn't. No, of course not. Well,
no, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking. You're like, I visited Sophia and I came back and I was like, no.
Yeah, no, she's a witch and she did some magic on me. No, not at all. No,
Pushed her down.
I mean, I'll just talk about that. So I had a really bad fall on the 30th. I was leaving Richmond, going to Baltimore to see our friend Helen, and I was on the platform at the Amtrak station at like 6 in the morning. And we were all boarding, and I fell really fucking hard on the platform, like a cement platform. I fell so hard that I smashed my glasses into my face. My face was gushing blood. My knee was banged up. I took another lady down with me. And it was so hard that I actually was wondering if somebody pushed me. Like it felt like silly how hard I fell. Then the next day, I was flying from Baltimore home and I woke up with the flu. I woke up with a fever, sore throat. I was miserable, flying miserable. Like, I could not, just the worst. And for me, I know that I'm a person that, like, I will get through anything. I could be like gunshot wound to the gut and I'll be like, no, it's okay. I can pick you up from the airport. Like, I just, like, I don't need help. That's what I thought. I don't need to be taken care of. And I had this overwhelming need as soon as I got on the train of, I wish I had someone to take care of me, like physically give me a hug or like help me. And when I got home, I wanted that from my partner and he wasn't able to do it. And it's not because he's a bad person. It's not, you know, for any, he's been this person his whole life and I've been in partnership with him. And I've changed. And I asked something of him that he just wasn't able to do. And I knew in the moment of seeing him when I got back that, like, actually, this is intolerable to not get the care. I would rather just be alone. That felt it. So at that moment, and this is like what something I teach my students is like, sometimes we have to get to a moment of intolerability where it's excruciating to stay in the place where we were. And that is telling us, okay, something else is going to push us into the next phase because we literally are not a physical match for the scenario anymore. And that was Tuesday, the 31st. By November 5th, I was already talking to my property manager about getting a place. So, like, within a week, I knew that I was going to make, you know, this is someone I'd been with for 18 years, lived with since 2009. Like, I knew that, like, it's time, and resonance took me there. And so this is like when you were saying, like, when people are like, oh, that resonates, I make the clear distinction that resonance does not mean I like it, or resonance does not mean I agree with it. Resonance is just the yes or no. And this is why it's different than like think positive and you'll manifest what you want, because thinking positive is maybe a shade of resonance, but like resonance might feel terrible. Like, it has not been an easy or fun or joyful or blissful path to say, I'm leaving. That's not, but it has felt like the strongest fucking yes I've ever felt in my life. So,
I definitely, I think we should talk about that because I think there's like toxic positivity when it comes to like manifesting your path or moving
Yeah.
along it. And
Yeah.
what it is it's hard because you're going against the reality. You're going against what you're supposed to do. You're going against the idea. That's the resonant path for me personally. It's like whenever I feel like when I feel like I'm at that fork in the road, one of the things that I think about is like, does this make sense in general? And does this make sense to me? Because in general, usually doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
And it's because I know the path that I want to forge. It's not to say that nobody's done it before. That's not true. We've all done something before, but it's different. And I know that that's what's right for me. And one of the things that I think influences a lot of our decisions is money, right? Like,
Yeah.
or security would be the
Survival.
bigger,
Yeah.
yeah, it would be the bigger umbrella. Because if you look at like, should I be in this relationship? There's security, or
Right.
should I, or comfort, or should
Trauma.
I stay in this job because there's security? And
Yeah.
so when we're like, maybe I should start my own business and read something that's intangible to people
Yeah.
and help them out.
Yeah.
How do I gauge? Like, I can't go to Indeed and be like, yeah, you're going to make X amount of money reading the Akashic Records. Like,
Right.
that's not right.
Yeah.
So that's not, but for me, it was like one of the big things that happened to me this year is that we moved to Virginia. And one of the big reasons we moved to Virginia, not just because I just felt it, that was resonance. It was just like, I got to do this. We had just bought a house in Pennsylvania, this like gorgeous 3,000 square foot creek in the backyard, like unreal. But I was miserable. I was like complete panic all the time. I felt lonely. I felt isolated. It was intolerable. And so one day I just looked at my husband and I was like, we keep talking about it. Like, why don't we just do it?
Yeah.
And we just fucking did it. And for him to go along with that is wild because that's, even though our paths are entangled, he's a very careful person and I can come off as not. But once I get an idea, that's it. And so I was like, this is what we got to do. We had just bought that house. It was during the housing, bubble. We flipped it. We made the exact same amount of money that we put into it, which is crazy that we did that in 7 months. And then we bought the house here. And immediately I felt at ease. And I wasn't able to drive my car by myself in Pennsylvania. Like, I went from driving constantly when I worked in beer. Like, I would drive to from Pennsylvania to Virginia once a month by myself. Like, I would drive up to Maine. It never bothered me. And then right before the pandemic happened, I had a massive panic attack on the Schuylkill, which is like back-to-back traffic, and I blacked out behind the wheel. And ever since then, I could not drive. As soon as we moved to Virginia, I had no problem driving. And so one of the things we wanted was security because we were drowning in debt, still are. And I was like, okay, I'll get a job. And I started bartending at my friend's bar. And then I, in a very Sophia way, was like, you guys have a need and I can fulfill that. So this is how much money I want. And they gave it to me. And it was a stupid amount of money, but whatever, they gave it to me. And but every time I got like a text or an email from the one owner, I could feel like, I call it anti-resonance. Like, it's like heat and like bubbling around my face, and it's just frustration and anger. And if you, I mean, I can definitely come out fiery, but for the most part, I think I'm pretty laid back. It takes a lot. Like, I can get annoyed, but I would get angry. And so, but I stuck with it because it was giving me money and I was about to have this baby, and we needed to save up. When I came back, they gave me full-time pay for part-time. I only had to work like one day a week, but I could feel it. I could feel the anti-resonance.
Yeah.
And the day I kept playing with it, and I was talking to Steve and I was talking to my friend, and I was like, why don't we give this? I think I was even talking to you. I was like, maybe I should just like, I just want to give them a day. I want to be like, I'll be here till November. I'll be here to this day. Like, I have to put an end to this because this is intolerable to me.
Yeah.
And then one day they called me and they're like, we can no longer, like, we love what you do, but we can't afford you anymore. And I think it was like that next
Oh.
week, I was, well, it was like the universe was like, okay, let's
Yeah.
just do this. They took it
Thank
right out
you.
of my path. I had no idea how I was going to make money. I had no idea. I think I
Yeah.
was still trying to figure out how I was going to move forward with Divine Void. It was uncomfortable. It was like awful. I was like calling Leah and calling my friend Mary, and I was like crying and like not, I was also going through the EMDR process. So like I was just like in a crazy
Pregnant too.
headspace. I was pregnant. Oh no, at the time I was
Oh.
postpartum.
Oh, okay.
So like my emotions are everywhere, but when I just fucking did it, when I just like put my class out there and people showed up and I started making income and then I started getting comfortable with being a teacher, like now, like I love it. Like I'm so
Yeah.
comfortable with it. But it's so funny looking back at like, what was it, August, where I was like, I can't do this. I don't know. What if people don't
Yeah.
get what I'm saying? And you know, so it is incredibly uncomfortable. And for me, I've learned that my anxiety is something I have to lean into. Like there's a difference between the intolerable feeling, the anti-resonance, and my anxious mind. So when I feel
Yeah.
anxious, it feels like my car alarm is going off. And I'm like, I gotta go. This is what I gotta do. So, like, you
Yeah.
know, one of the things that I am doing now is, well, at the time, it was like I was anxious. I didn't have confidence. I didn't know how to be a teacher. I don't know if I'm gonna be
Yeah.
able to do this, but I leaned into that and I feel awesome. One of the things I'm doing this year in like 2 weeks, I'm going to travel to England by myself with this like crippling panic disorder. And I'm going to stay in a room with somebody I don't know. And, you know, but I have to lean into it because I know it's something that is good for me.
It's
It is
resonant.
something, it's resonance. And
Yeah.
so, like, sometimes it's the anxiety that is like causing. I kind of like to say, like, you know, when you have like a job interview and you can, like, the ones you're like, whatever, I can do it. And then there's one that like makes you feel anxious the night before
Yeah.
and you're like, I just want to make sure I know how to speak right, I know how to do it.
Yeah.
But that's the one you want. That's the same thing. That's the same feeling.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of like put it line to line. And I think that when you're on the resonant path, it's not going to make sense. It's not going to feel good. It's not going to
Yeah.
be easy. But like every time it hits, like it's literally like being, not literally, it's like being in Vegas. Like when you throw down that money and you're like not sure and you're betting big and it hits, it is like fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And you feel so empowered and you feel like once you do that one, you can do something bigger. You can keep going. I mean, that's how they get you in Vegas, but that's like, you know, it's a gamble, right? And
Yeah.
like, what are we going to do in this life if we're not going to like bet it on ourselves, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
I had no one else to bet on. So like, I had to bet
Yeah.
on myself.
Yeah. Yeah, it's yeah, the anxiety part is really interesting because that's another thing that I like really focus on in the mentorship is like, what are all the strategies that your mind and your body will throw in to protect you from risk? And some of that can be negative self-talk or your body getting sick or anxiety or all of these things that have you worked for your lifetime to push you into what your body perceives as the safest possible path. But that safety often protects us even from our soul level desires. And so we don't do the thing that like our souls, you know, whatever, our big picture longs for us to do. And that feels dissatisfying. And so, yeah, it isn't that I like, for me, I mean, I definitely get anxiety since I've been living. So, like, I moved December 11th. I visited you October 27th. I moved into my very first apartment on my own, by myself, on December 11th. I did not think, I had no plan or knowledge that that was going to happen when I left for Virginia on the 27th. And that's something that usually I think, like previous Leah, like mental Leah, Leah that plans, not resonant Leah, would have wanted to know, when is this happening? How am I doing it? I would have wanted to have a plan. Even when I got back, I thought in my head, okay, January. But no, as soon as I said yes, that this is what's going to happen, it was like December 1st, you're going to get a place. So I think like the example I could give is like driving up to this apartment. So another thing is, I'm not going to say this is the same way for everyone, but I was really nervous about looking for an apartment because I have bad credit. I have a huge debt from school, and my credit can never get above a certain point. And I'm like, who's going to rent to me? I don't have good credit. I'm not, this is going to be an uphill battle. And I got this, like, it felt Akashic, even though it seems logical. Like, yeah, of course, you look at your resources. Who can you call? But I didn't even think about this guy. I heard the Akashic feeling of call your property manager, whom I had never met. I sent him an email, and he was like, immediately, like, I have just the place for you. And I asked him about the credit. He's like, oh, we don't need to check credit. So it was like, okay, the first anxiety I had, it was cleared immediately out of my path. It's not going to be an issue for you, Leah. And then I drive up, he's showing me this apartment, and I'm so agitated because my body is like, don't leave, stay in this relationship. Maybe it's not fun, but you know it. It's predictable, it's reliable, it's safe. Don't leave. Don't do this, Leah. Don't take this apartment. Don't make this move. And so I make this ultimatum with the universe about, well, I'm not going to fucking take this apartment if it doesn't have a big closet, because I've broken my closet. Like, I've broken my closet in my last place like three times because I have too many clothes and I'm not getting rid of any. So, whatever. And I walk in, and this place has 22 feet of hanging closet space. It's an anomalous closet. It's such a weird closet that it was like, oh, you want that bitch? In your face. Here goes. And so it was like, when you
It's a
commit,
wall. It's crazy. It is like
it's
a
like a
full,
separate room.
it separates like your hallway from your
It's a
bedroom, right? It's
wall.
like so crazy. It's a wall.
It's not a walk-in closet. I've never seen anything like it, but it was so anomalous that it felt like the universe speaking directly back at me. Like, you committed to this path, and as long as you have the courage to say yes to the yeses, don't worry about the how. We got you. We will open it for you. And from that, I've learned to trust this to the point where I feel like in life, I'm driving the car from the back seat. It isn't that I don't have inspiration and things I want to do. It's that I have even more inspiration and things I want to do. But the meticulous planning that, like, I hate to use this woo-woo term, but like my third dimensional brain, my third dimensional mind wants to plan the steps. That is not what we're in charge of in the how, in the resonant path. We're not in charge of the how. And that is so hard to let go, because that means I'm letting go of like the material physical world and putting my trust in the unknown, that physical part of the path will open up for me. And that is so scary. That's, yeah.
But I will say, when you do this for a while, it almost like your body does get used to it. Like it stops
Totally.
being so scary. So like one of the things that, okay, so I'm going to, one of my things for 2024, so what I'm really excited about is that before I moved from New York, I had this like crazy situation happen to me. It was like while I was going through the Akashic teacher training, and I got read by a friend. And she was like, you have to close your dream world. You have to shut it off, which, if you know me, is not something I want to do, because it's like my dreams are a part of my deeply psychic life. My dreams is like, that's how I communicate with the other side. And I was like, fuck, I don't want to do that, but I did it. And so when I turned off the dream my dream world, and I place the guardian at the door. So I, like, no one can go in, nobody can go out until we change this. Like, that's the rule. We have a certain date, that's it. So I'm in this like weird hypnagogic state, and I can see, I know that I'm laying beside my husband in bed in my room, but I can also see this like sort of crystalline like palace in the sky, and there's this like crazy feeling of home that I get, but also like there's also Sophia going like, what the fuck is this? Which is like crazy because there's two of me happening at once. And then I see there's like a page in front of me and I'm trying to read it. And as I'm trying to get the words out, like this language is slipping out and I'm realizing I'm getting frustrated. Then I, again, like Sophia is separate from whatever is coming through. And I'm watching this happen and I'm like, something is coming through and what is happening here? And then when it like my mouth starts to get like really tight and it doesn't want to open up. And I'm in between sleep and awake. So my mouth doesn't want to open up. And I can feel the frustration of whatever is coming through. And the language that was coming out, I intuitively felt like it was angelic. It wasn't a language. And I dream in other languages. So it wasn't a language I could like immediately recognize. And then finally, when it came out, it said, "I am the messenger of the three, the five, the nine." And immediately, I do this in my sleep a lot. I like pushed Steve and I said, "Wake me up!" And he woke me up, and I jumped up, and I was like, "Oh my God! Oh my God!" And I was like freaking out, like, "This is so crazy!" And then I was like, "Oh, this is amazing!" And then at the same time, I was like, "This is fucked up. I did not give them permission to take over my body. I did not like, I was just like really upset." And then I was like, but, and so whenever I do automatic writing, I can feel my hand get hot. So I started to write and I wrote, "You asked for this." So I didn't know what that meant for years. And then it started happening last year. I had another thing where I could like see people's prayers and I was like, I don't need to see people's prayers. And then I saw myself like in my bed, my baby's in my hand. We were co-sleeping and my husband's on the other side. And I felt something. So I'm awake, but I feel something hold my feet, like a person, but it wasn't scary. It was like grounding. And then I hear like a, it was like almost a defibrillator. It was like the high pitched noise. And then I feel a shot and it physically moved my head up that it woke me up. And everything was like wonky and weird. And like my vision was weird. And I was like awake looking. And in that moment, I was like, I've always believed in like multi dimensions, like my like ghost spirits, whatever. But like now I know this is real. That's the only thing I could say. And from there, it was like, okay, I have to, regardless of understanding that trance can be a little bit dangerous and you don't know what you're playing with or whatever, like I just trust that my body and my energy will not let me go to a certain extent. I trust that I'm on a path that like I'm protected. I trust that they understand what I will and will not be okay with. I have to try. And I started trying and it started happening. But I'm not fully able to anchor them for much more than like 10 or 15 minutes if there's other people. I think when I did it with you, it was like maybe 5 minutes. Like it was very quick. And so the exciting thing is that I'm going to a college in the UK that focuses on this. And when I did my assessment, there you get your assessment done by an evidential mediumship or medium, and evidential mediumship is something I am not super familiar with outside of a couple of people I know, but it is wild. Like it is like bang 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 bang, like they the way they like tell you everything about you, and it was like so surprising. And she said, she was like, these beings that are moved forward for you, like you don't even know who they are, and but you don't care, you're trusting, and that's all you need. And it's true. I don't even know, like I call them the three, the five, the nine, because that's what I got, But I don't even know if that's who they are. I don't even know what they are. I don't know, and I don't care. Like, you just trust it. You just start to, I've let go of the idea of like, oh, my spirit guide's name is blah, blah, blah. I don't know my spirit guide's name. I don't care because
Doesn't
that's just
matter.
like it doesn't matter. And it's the same thing. Like, I don't know how I'm going to do X, Y, Z. I don't care if it's going to happen, which I feel it's going to happen. It will happen. It will make itself happen. So I don't need to plan. And the more that I do this, the less I get worried about the details, and I let them happen for me. And you talk about manifesting, like that's real manifesting, because when you are like playing this, not game, it is a game. This is a game. When you're playing this game with the universe and you're going back and forth and they're like throwing the ball your way and you're hitting it back and you're going like, I don't care. Like, I'll do it. Like, let's go. It starts to become like comical, the stuff that comes through. So like, your comical like closet, or like when I thought I was going to be homeless, when like a stupid realtor sold our house and then dipped on us and we were like a week away from being homeless, all of a sudden we found like $60,000 that we didn't know we had. How do you find that level of money, and then we were able to buy a house that was like $100,000 more than we thought we could buy. Like, it's fucking comical, the stuff that comes through. So if we're talking about manifesting, it's no like, let's write down what you want, how you want it, what are the things, and you met like, it's not like that. It's playing a game. Like,
It is a
I love
game.
saying, I love saying that, like, in the Renaissance they called this, like, they call it fortuna, like fortune. And you're supposed to flirt with her. You're supposed to, like, you look at it as a relationship. And I think that that's important, to like look at the universe as being in relationship with you, and you're flirting and you're like being sassy and you're playing this game back and forth. Like, you want to brood, I can brood. You want to do this, I can do. Like, and I think that that's what makes the crazy stuff really come through. And it sounds like this level that I'm talking about sounds so like unattainable to some people, but you start small. It's a practice. So like, when people come to me and they're like, I don't know how to do this, and I'm like, start small. Like, when your friends are like, I want to go somewhere, and you're the kind of person that never, you're just like, I'm here to go along, make a choice. Tell them you want to make the, you have to make small practices out of it and build on it. And that's like the most, I think, grounded way of getting used to it. But anyway, so I think 2023 for both of us has been like a crazy wild ride of like, who am I moving forward? Like, at least for me, I feel like 2023 was like, who are you moving forward? What do you want to do? And I was like, this is it. This is how I do it.
It's really hard to explain to people that, like, and this is like what the Akasha always says when I'm doing a reading with someone, like, and this is the truth. It's the truth. Every person is the center of the universe. Like, the entire existence exists just for you. You are the very absolute center. And one of the things that they're guiding me to, like, do with myself and talk to others about is, how do you get selfish? Because we are indoctrinated into a culture that, has a real judgment value on even the word selfishness. And what they mean by that is that how much of our life choices and, conscious choices are designed for us by others, by culture, by society, or by a path that we were told we're supposed to take. How much of our life choices don't actually resonate with us, but we choose them because we were told that if you do all this right, you'll be a good person. Like, if you're successful, you're good. And what happens if you can know a few things? Like, one, you're inherently good. Nothing you do or don't do is going to put that into question. So then what would you do with your time here? And how do you make your experience all about you? Because when we do that, what we find is that because we live on a relational planet, it's impossible to come here and not be in relationship with even just, even if you talk to nobody, you're in relationship with like the chair you're sitting on. So even if you choose yourself above everything else, it will bring about relationality, which is not selfish. Like it's really, it's, I don't know, take the mentorship because we spend a year talking about this stuff. Like it's hard to like boil it down, but like, yeah, I totally agree with the starting small. Like one of the things I always tell clients is, and remind myself of this too, is like resonance, the resonant path is so mysterious to the conscious mind and doesn't make any sense that like maybe you need to go grocery shopping and you always go to the same grocery store and you know the layout, you know your routine, you go in and buy the same things every time. And then this one day you just like get this urge to like, oh, I want to go to that other store. I never go there. And you listen to it and you go, even though it might be a little bit out of the way, or it might take a little bit more time, or you're going to spend more time exploring where things are. And then you're in line and like you meet someone who's the love of your life, or you meet someone who's going to like
Right.
offer you a job, or like you couldn't have known that something else would open up if you listen to the path of obligation. I'm obligated to go to what I know, go to the same store. It's practical, it's logical. I've budgeted for that. You would have missed opportunities by not listening to resonance that you wouldn't even have imagined existed. And then when you get there, a new step on the path opens up in this other grocery store. And then from there, you get to make choices from that place. And like it's so small, and like the things that you think are not connected are actually connected. And it's so beautiful. It's amazing.
Yeah, I honestly went through this. One of the this was like the huge breakdown in what happened at the end of this year. And my husband's upbringing is always like, you have to be polite, you have to like think for others before yourself. And he's definitely that kind of person. And when if you anybody who's ever met him, he is genuinely the nicest guy on earth, like genuinely so nice, so good. But because he has been, it's like indoctrinated in him that being selfish is terrible. No matter how much I implore him, like, go do something for yourself, he became resentful and he did not communicate it. And he was actively doing the opposite. And it was like just breaking down his soul. And what it ultimately did was break down our marriage. But it was good because we needed to see that in order to move forward, in order to have a strong foundation. And this is like something that I've learned from this is like you can have the best intent, but it doesn't make you a shit person. Like, people think about how many times you've been in a situation where someone's like, that wasn't my intention, but it fucked your shit up. Just because you have good intentions doesn't mean that it's like necessarily right. So like this idea that you're supposed to do XYZ is the intention of keeping you safe, of keeping you in a box to keep you like to keep you in line with what everybody else thinks is supposed to be done, but it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. And I also think that, like, you were talking about the mystery, in the occult life, in ceremonial magic, we call it the great mystery, right? But it's also like, if we're thinking of it in relationship, think about like when you meet somebody like at a bar or at whatever, and there's just something about them. There's that mystery, right? And you start to date them. And if they tell you everything on that first date and whatever, you're like, I don't know if I really want all that. Like, it's too much, too soon, too whatever. But the person that has the mystery, you want to know a little more about them. You want to engage. You want to try. You want to like, okay, maybe I should do this date. Let's see if they'll be into that. Like, and that's why it's the mystery. It keeps us hungry and thirsty for knowledge, for for experimentation, for trial and error. And
Yeah.
that's what ultimately this experience as a human is. So, like, it has to be mysterious. We're not going to know
Yeah.
everything. And that's honestly part of the reason why I stopped doing one-on-one readings, because A, I can't commit to the time when you have two young kids. It's really hard.
Right.
But
Yeah.
B, the other part of it is the more you do this, the more you live this life, the more you are submerged in the Akashic lens. When you're open to it and you read for people, it's kind of like, I don't know, you do what you want to do. It's up
Yeah.
to you. Like, what do you like,
Yeah.
you know? And your answers become so, like, I don't know if the word superfluous to, I don't know what I'm trying to
Superfluous.
say. Yeah, I don't, it's just like, you know, kind of like, man, whatever. You know,
Yeah, you're
that's like,
driving the car from the
that's like,
back seat.
right. So,
Yeah.
and that's not what people pay money to go
Right,
to a
people
reader
want
for.
psychic readings.
They want psychic readings, right? And an
Yeah.
Akashic reading is going to be so different. It's
Yeah.
so, you know, it's tough because, you know, people ask me, I've gotten the question a lot, like, why do you do this work, or why are you teaching and like not doing one-on-ones? Well, I'm not giving people what they actually want, and I'm not going to. And there's plenty of readers out there. There's plenty of really good readers out there. Like, I mean, Leah is open for that. You can book Leah, but I can't do it. Like, I'm not doing it. I mean, I'll do it for my students and that's it. But my point is like, they are like, what do you want to do? It's up to you.
Yeah.
How do you want to do it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it is up to us. We
Yeah.
do have agency. And what I choose and what I've decided to choose and what I've anchored into choosing is like, fuck it, we ball. Like, I don't
Yeah.
know. We're just gonna do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And once you're so seeped in resonance, it's just kind of,
Yeah.
that's how you do it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting that I mean, this is what Leah does is like that programming of like choosing the safe route is also incredibly colonial because that programming, it's a collective programming and it looks different in different families and like we're raised in different ways. But like ultimately, many, many of us are raised to survive the capitalist structure. So we're either learning how to become a good laborer, and that means foregoing your desires, homogenizing into a certain kind of person, putting others before you, working so that you don't even have so much that you don't even know who you are. Or it involves, well, I can't attain that, so I'm going to survive this culture. I'm going to scheme. I'm going to learn how to hustle. Like it, and then, but in either case, all we're trying to do is survive. And that is not what from an Akashic perspective, for me, like it's not the only option available to us. No option is right or wrong. Like if you choose to never listen to resonance, that's you can't be bad, you can't be wrong.
Totally.
But I can feel it being intolerable to not choose myself. Every like people have asked me because I spend all this time studying decoloniality and culture and people and community and not equity, like you know, so-called justice, and you would think that like, oh, Leah must be like, you know, down for the people and like you put others first. And at this point, that's absolutely not true. I have one directive in this life, and it's to listen to my resonance, and that's it. And it could take me to places that I would not have ever imagined for myself, but like, I put myself above everyone else. And what that ultimately does for me is it makes me more available to be in service to others in a way that is not me trying to show that I'm still good.
My mentee texted me a couple of days ago, and she gave me this visual, and I was like, fuck, I wish I came up with it. It was so good. But she was like, when you expand, I see us and everyone you're in relationship with as like the paper stars. And you pull it apart. So, like, as you expand, we get to expand, and everyone connected to us gets to expand. And I was like, God, that is so good. Like, so fucking good. But
Yeah.
she was like, you know, when I see it, when I see you going through stuff, I start to go through stuff, and then I start to expand. And then I see, like,
Yeah.
my
Yeah.
little coven, and they start to expand, and then they meet
Yeah.
somebody, and one there's a bhakta or a bhakti, and he says like spirituality is like a perfume. When you walk past somebody, they can smell the sweet perfume. And so like if you're not somewhat, if you're not about you, like not choosing yourself over society, over everything else, like I'm not talking about being like straight up like on the surface selfish. I'm talking about like you are choosing your destiny over every fucking thing that everybody else says that you're supposed to do. And you get this feeling, like I said, it's that betting, that like high, the empowerment, whatever. When you walk past somebody or you walk into a room, you affect other people. They
Yeah.
sense that. They're like, what is she wearing?
Yeah.
Like, I want to
Yeah.
know, So it's the same.
Yeah.
We are connected in that way. Like, as you expand and you make these choices, the people around you start to, that are really invested, like start to expand as well. Like, and it does something to your personality. So as like I was in Target, like grabbing formula for my daughter, and this woman was like in the parking lot, and she saw it, and she was like crying, and she's like, is that one good? Like, my doctor said that I have to supplement. I don't know what to do. And I was like, can I hug you? Like, people sense it off of you the same way like animals sense stuff off of you. Like, there's something about you that makes people feel comfortable in approaching you and speaking to you. And
Yeah.
as spiritual people, like a lot of us go through this weird thing where we like randomly run into people and like have like weird interactions with them, like almost like you're on mushrooms, like that feeling of like this only happens when I'm tripping. It's like the same thing when you're like about this life. It's the same like concept. So like for me, I'm like,
Yeah.
I don't really need to do drugs anymore, because the shit that I'm going through is
Yeah.
like, am I on drugs? Like, I don't even know what reality
Yeah.
I'm in sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think that that's like really important. And I think that like a lot of us are feeling that call and that pull. And I think going into this year, I think 2025 is going to be massive, but I think going into this year, a lot of people are, I think people are curious already. And
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm like excited to see how, I'm excited to see life for both you and I anyways. I mean, we're gonna be
Yeah.
here with each other watching it, but I'm excited to see how that affects the people we come in contact with, because that's community, right? Like,
Yeah.
that's ultimately the paper dolls, the stretching,
Yeah.
and that's how we like create new systems, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't I have zero I used to do this like in my early Akashic career, like not a look ahead, but like trying to like, do a reading for the year or something, and I just that does not resonate anymore. I just don't even care. I don't I have a sense that things are going to get very hard culturally, globally, and that there's a reason why a lot of us, like I had a full mentorship of 47 students who this spent this last year with me learning how to listen to their resonance and their desires and open up to that. And I'm like, that isn't happening at this point for no reason. And so it's like one of the things that I do see is like this dichotomy of, as we see things on the planet become increasingly more difficult, whether it's, war in Palestine, whether it's climate collapse, whether it's, expansion of poverty and all these things that we're seeing. There's been a flurry of gun violence in LA just in this last like 2 weeks. And it feels that like this is not the time to abandon the resonant path. Like this is it's like it feels counterintuitive, because in colonialism we're taught that like, oh, selfishness, pleasure, hedonism, those are selfish pursuits. Look at all the suffering that's happening. How can you be focused on that when there's all this that you should, if you see people bleeding out, demonstrate that you're a good person by bleeding out with them. And my guidance is absolutely not. This is the time to come into your agency through knowing yourself and opening up to soul level pursuits so that you are the person you came to be at this point on this planet, at this moment on this planet. And I don't know what that looks like, but for me, it's always like it can't also not have a point for decoloniality. Like they're intertwined for me. But that's so hard to grasp when we're so indoctrinated into like, well, it looks like what you're doing, like, is pleasure seeking, Leah, but look at all the people that are suffering. It's hard to make people understand it, but I don't need to make people understand it. The people that resonate with me are going to find me and work with me, and that's all I
Totally.
have control over.
Yeah, I think one thing the 3, the 5, the 9 said was like, they keep saying is like, don't get caught up in what's going on. And they don't mean like, don't be
Like, don't
aware of it.
bypass. Yeah.
Don't, yeah, they're not, they don't mean that. They mean like, don't let it affect how you move forward. You
Right.
know, like, don't let it affect your choices for you. Like, you can make
Yeah.
choices, but it's just,
Yeah. Don't let it
it's
stop
soul
you.
level, right? And they also said like, we've gone through this before. Like,
Yeah.
this is at every time in every century, there's always some big upheaval,
Yeah.
right? And that upheaval also affects like creation, like artistry, how systems, you know, that this is not brand new. This is not
Right.
something that's never happened before. It is a continuous, you know, it's the wheel of time. It's the wheel of karma. It's the wheel of fortune. It's
Yeah.
just what we do all the time. So like, they're like, don't be surprised. You've done this before. We've been here before. And again, this isn't like bypassing, be like, this is not a big deal. It is a big deal, but you know, we have on a, we're talking soul level stuff. We've done this before. What we have to do is show up as ourselves, show up with our gifts, show up in how we create systems of change. And that doesn't necessarily, I feel like, you know, social justice, especially nowadays, can be very futile,
Yeah.
because the systems that are in place are systems for a reason. They're like power. So like, how do you undermine the power is like, you have to create new systems for yourself.
Yeah.
And so
Yeah.
you know, we were talking about this before we got on. Like, I sent like this email blast and I posted on my Instagram, like, yo, I need help. And one of the things, you know, I think collectively for a lot of us is like, we're hyper independent. Like, we will like push ourselves. Like, you were even saying, like, I'll be like, I'll have a shot wound. I'll be like, yeah, I can pick you up from the airport. Like,
Yeah.
we don't need help, right? We can do it on our own. And so what we do is like, instead of asking for help, instead of whatever, we're like, drive ourselves into debt, drive ourselves into burnout,
Yeah.
drive ourselves into whatever, and we can't keep up. So for me, I was like, let me ask my community to help me like invest in myself, help me do
Yeah.
this. And it's not like I didn't take 2, 2.5 hours to write the email because I had a lump in my throat and it felt cringy. And I'm like, I don't want this to come off like, please give me money. I don't want that. That's
Yeah.
not the point. My point is like, help me, help you, help myself. Like, I'm looking
Yeah.
to my community. I got to do something different. And I'm not going to do that by like opening up another credit card, you know.
Right.
We have to lean on each other. We have to like learn how to give help, but more so we have to learn to accept help.
Yeah.
And you know, I came across this some point in the last year. I remember I sent it to you, and it was like this indigenous like prophecy about the volcano. And it was like the volcanoes were stuck to explode. And it's something to do with like, we can either choose the life that we're living, or the collective can choose a spiritual life. And I remember sending this to you, and you were like, you should save this and you should share it. And I have to like look through, and I'll share it when this episode airs. But I have noticed there's been a lot of volcanic energy, and they can't, there's no scientific way of measuring when a volcano is going to explode, which I think is very interesting to be involved in that. But I have to find it, and I'll post it. But I think that that's what it is, right? We have to choose the spiritual path, which is the resonant path, which is
Yeah.
adhering to like what our life is, no matter how broken or weird or cringy or whatever we feel our light is. But I told Leah, like, all I know is for like 2024 is I'm leaning into the cringe. If it is cringy to me, I'm leaning into it because that means I care.
That's interesting. For me, I mean, I've been on this pursuit for a minute because it is about, and you know, where I come from, you know, my background has been to lean into desire, like for since 2021, and I feel like it's going to get even exponentially more profound in 2024. For me, is to lean into desire, that like, to for me to stop postponing desire, to stop making desire superfluous to the actual work I have to do. That like the point is to desire, to live and to attempt my desires, and to know and feel safe in being desired and being soft. And like it's interesting because I, you know, I'm getting a lot of guidance around, especially like relationship stuff for me, which has been the most difficult part of my life. The most unsafe part of my life has been re romantic relationships, and something that I have not been able to face. Not that I didn't want to face it, so I didn't even think there was a problem, because I was so unable to face it until essentially this past year. And something that they, you know, on the surface, if I were to pursue relationships with other people, one of the things that they say is like, people might think that it's about the relationship, but really it's about what emerges for you, Leah, when you understand that you are desired by other people. Like, what would it mean if you showed up in a space, not just like in relationship, but like to the gas station, assuming that people want to see you and know you? What does that open up for your imagination? What kinds of thoughts or things will you write? What kinds of curriculum will you create? What kinds of experiences will you have, you know, with the subtext, the presupposition that like, I am desired on this planet, because that hasn't been something I've known. So it feels like, even though it originates, the learning and the growth happens in the realm of relationships for me, it has these tentacles that like reach and expand into all these other parts of my, you know, existence that don't seem related, but they are related. So yeah, my 2024 feels like, I mean, but who knows what 2024 could take me, like, but right now it feels like it's leaning into like desire as like a massive healing.
I agree with that. Well, I know we're like, let's reflect and talk about what we want, and then we got into the resonant path, which I think is
It's perfect.
it's
I think it's
perfect. It's like
perfect. Yeah.
it's on par for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let's close out. What do you have coming up that people can engage with?
Yeah. I have my two classes are opening in a couple months. So one is living systems, which we've talked about previously. But the second, if you're interested in any of the things we talked about, I'm opening my Akashic Mentorship in April. April, the applications are going to come out at the end of January. And we spend a whole year working on this stuff, like a whole year to work on, you know, where you're at with desire, resonance, unmet needs. You learn how to become an Akashic practitioner for yourself. So that's coming up. And if you want to get early access to the application, I recommend going to my website, crystalsofaltamira.com, and getting on my newsletter. Yeah. How about you? What do you have coming?
Are you doing readings too?
Oh yeah, I'm doing readings. Yeah, I'm doing readings on Tuesdays and Thursdays for the months of January, February, and March. And then once I start my classes, it's going to go back down to only 2 days a month. Yeah. And my prices are going up, so book me now.
what do I have? Okay, I have right now exploring the Akasha. Where we push boundaries. So if you have already had experience with the Akasha, it's a great one for you. If you're brand new to it though too, it's kind of like I see it as like hiring somebody with no experience but is excited. Like it's a good like blank slate to start. But we this is I think less about Akashic Records, more about Akashic Fields. If we really want to put a context to it though, I don't really think it matters. We're just like pushing the boundaries of your imagination, of your sensory, of your understanding of realities or possible realities. And that's a 6 week course that starts at the end of January and January 31st. The applications are open now. With that, I've tagged on exploring the Akasha readership, which is best practices, how-tos, all of the stuff that I feel like is not being taught enough. That starts, I believe, in April. So if you want to take both, there is an opportunity to get a huge discount and do a payment plan, but those are coming up. Starting Sunday, I start with the journey through the archetypes. So it is a weekly practice of moving through the keys of the major arcana and looking at the archetypes. I did this practice during COVID and it like changed my life. I use Paul Foster Case's tarot as kind of the base, and it is my most used resource in my library. I have a pretty big library. I might have to get another copy because it's like breaking apart. It's so used, but it's cool. It's drop-in donation, or you can buy the whole package. It's just $15 if you want to do the recording or you want the recording sent to you. That's every Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern. So that would be what time? West.
11.
11. And I'm going to start doing some more in-person channeling circles. I have one coming up in Philly on February 18th. I'm starting to book LA, so I'm hoping to be in LA in like March, April. And yeah. Oh, and I'm doing some in-person like journeys or meditations, whatever you want to call them. I call them Akashic journeys because it's a little deeper than a meditation. At Buffalo Firefly here in
Oh, cool.
Richmond, but that's via
Awesome.
Zoom as well. So all that stuff is on my site. All that stuff is on my Linktree. But exploring the Akasha is the one I'm most excited about because I had been resistant to doing an Akashic class for so long because I don't resonate with the idea of the Akashic Records. And then I was like, you know what? Maybe I should just teach what I
Yeah,
know.
totally.
And
Yeah.
I remember like texting you and being like, should I do this? And you're like, absolutely.
Yeah, duh, of course.
Yeah. So yeah, you can check out my site, divinevoidsophia.com, or you can just go to the links in my bio on Instagram. And yeah, I'm really excited for Magical Bodies this year because we're actually going to do guests as well. So we're going to work on that schedule too because we're both pretty busy, but we're going to start bringing on guests and expanding our little community. But thank you everybody who has listened, who has shared, who has watched on YouTube. I can't believe our little itty bitty podcast has touched so many people. I look at the data because that's what I do. And it is wild to see how many countries and people and I from the bottom of our hearts, we're
So
so grateful.
beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Well, yeah. So everybody, thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.